Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to Wednesday night at Grace Community Church. Thank y'all for coming out, and thank y'all for tuning in online if you're watching at home. I just thank you for being here. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just get up here and share your word again, Lord. I just pray that you would move me to the side, Lord, and I pray that you would say what you want said tonight. And I just pray that you would open hearts and minds to receive it, Lord. And we just hand it over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were watching last week, we had some kind of a technical difficulty, so it didn't make it to YouTube. We're going to try and re-record that sometime this week. I don't know what day that'll be, but hopefully we'll get that on YouTube for you sometime this week. Last week we talked about how Jesus is the vine and we are his branches. And if we don't stay connected to the vine, if we don't stay connected to Jesus, that we just dry up spiritually and become spiritual twigs, and how twigs didn't really have any strength. You know, I did that little demonstration where it just breaks real easy. You know, the least little storm that comes along or something that bumps it the wrong way, it just breaks and it crumbles. But we talked about how a healthy branch that is connected can bend, you know, without breaking. And it can weather the storms because it's alive on the inside, because it's connected to the vine. And the storms won't break it, you know, they just make it stronger. Just like exercise for our bodies and eating right, you know, makes us healthier and stronger. It's the same spiritually. You know, the more you get in God's word and the more you obey it and the more you apply it in your life, the more you're connected to the vine and the stronger you get on the inside, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You know, it just helps you get stronger in all those areas. And you don't fall apart when something goes wrong. And you don't break because you're all dried up on the inside. You know, I can remember before I surrendered my life to Christ, it didn't take a whole lot to break me, or not much at all. You know, the least little thing come wrong, I just use that for an excuse to drink or whatever. But since I've surrendered my life to Christ, you know, the same situations or even worse ones can come along, and they don't even seem to faze me anymore. I mean, it's the same problems, but I don't worry about them the way I used to do, and I don't handle them the way I used to do, because I have God to guide me now. We was talking about being strong like that branch. I remember one time I did a study on the cedars in the Bible. If you read through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, it talks about the cedars of Lebanon. You know, they're pretty famous in the Bible, not just because of their beauty. It's real pretty wood. That's what they put inside the temple when they built it, but they overlaid it with gold. But they were famous because of their size and their strength, too. It says some of them get over 120 feet tall and 30 feet in circumference. That would be about a 6-foot wide tree, you know, with a 30-foot circumference. But one of the things that they were famous for was their ability to withstand strong winds. There's a verse in Ezekiel I'll share with you. Ezekiel 27, verse 5. It says, "You were like a great ship built of the finest cypress from Senir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you." And that's one of the things that they were famous for. They'd use those cedar trees from Lebanon to make masts for their ships. And they'd go up to the very tops of the mountains and pick one out, because the trees that were growing at the top of the mountains, you know, they had to endure all them strong winds that you'll get at a mountaintop. And those trees, they had to, sometimes, you know, they'd have 100-mile-an-hour winds or better. And they'd climb all the way up there just to get one and drag it all the way down to the water just to make a mast out of it. you know, some of those mountains, especially the one that they're talking about where they get the cedars of Lebanon, they're like 6,500 feet in altitude. I wrote this down just to have something to compare it to. Like Mount LeConte is 6,594 feet, so that's pretty high if you live down at the ocean level. So they'd go all the way up there and get those trees because they grew up on top of the mountain in those winds, and it made them stronger. You know, from the time they were little saplings, they'd grow up there on the top of those mountains where the winds are blowing. So the whole time that they're growing, they're exposed to it. Like I said, sometimes those winds would be over 100 miles an hour, and they'd be bent back and forth the whole time they were growing. And by the time they got to be full-grown trees, you know, 120 feet tall, they were almost impossible to break because they matured in the storms. You know, growing in the wind and growing in the storms is what gave them their strength. And that's what gives us our strength too. If we'll go through our storms with God, you know, it builds our faith in God. It makes us stronger on the inside. So that's why they chose those trees to make their mast out of, so that when they got out to sea and they were going through the roughest storm that the sea could throw at them, they could have faith that that mast was strong enough to withstand the wind without breaking. And that's what God wants for his people. You know, we talked last week about how I used to make those cuttings from banana trees, you know, skin back the bark off of them and put that hormoden and peat moss on them so they could grow their own roots. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow roots. You know, we read last week in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him and let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So God wants us to grow roots in him so our faith will be strong. You know, like those cedar trees from Lebanon we've been talking about. And we won't get broke like twigs when the storm does come. I like this. It says in Psalms 92, verses 12 through 14, it's talking about those cedar trees again. It says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit, and they will remain vital and green." So it says we'll grow strong like those cedar trees, and we won't break when the storms come. But we got to have roots. You know, it says in verse 13, we're to be transplanted to the Lord's own house. We're supposed to flourish in the courts of our God. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, is growing roots. You know, there's too many Christians that are still in their pots. They never got planted anywhere. You know, it says there in verse 13, they're transplanted to the Lord's own house. And I think a lot of us, we never get planted anywhere. You know, our seed sprouted. You know, we come to church and we hear the gospel message. And so we have the seed in us, but we never get out of our pots. We stay in the pot that we budded in and never get planted anywhere. You know, a lot of people, they just hop around from church to church and they never get planted. You know, if they're watching preaching on TVs, if one doctrine or teaching that they're listening to, or if the preacher at the church that they're going to is preaching something that's against their lifestyle, then they'll just change churches and look for another one that, you know, that fits their lifestyle. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to grow in Jesus. We're supposed to change our life to fit him, not the other way around. I heard one preacher call them bullfrogs. He said they'd hop on a lily pad and they'd stay in that one spot until somebody gets close enough to you to try to talk to you or touch you, and then they'll hop off and get on another lily pad. And that's the way a lot of us treat churches. And that's not what we're supposed to do. If you ever worked in a greenhouse or had any kind of house plants that are in pots, you probably know what root bound means. It's where you got a plant that's in a pot, but it's been in there so long that the roots have grown and filled up the whole pot. You know, they ate all the dirt that's in there, and there's nothing else for them to go to. And since there's no more dirt in there, they're not getting any more nourishment while they're in that pot. And that's what happens to a lot of us. You know, we refuse to change things. We refuse to grow. So we never get out of our pot. We don't get planted anywhere. So we become root bound. And you can try to water those plants that are root bound in their pots, and the water just blows right through it and it pours out all over your floor. If you ever had a plant in the house that did that, it probably needed repotted. And like I said, there's many Christians in there that are like that. You know, they've just been in their pot so long, they refuse to be planted. Or like Pastor Dennis said a couple of weeks ago, they refuse to be committed. You know, you can come to church and hear God's word being watered to you, and if you're like that, it just pours right out the bottom of your pot. You know, your roots can't grow unless they're in some soil. They got to have somewhere to branch out to. Like Josh was talking about Sunday, our roots need to be in the same soil with other believers so we can grow together. You know, that's how we get the body of Christ. That's how we get a family of believers and the fellowship that we need to grow together and intertwine with one another. Another good tree analogy, I know everybody's heard of I think they're the biggest trees in the world, the redwood trees in California. Some of those trees, they reach up to 275 to 350 feet tall. That's high. I mean, that's really high. But their root system, it only grows down 6 to 12 feet. So you'll have a tree 350 feet tall, but you've only got 6 feet of roots in the ground. But the reason that they don't fall over is their roots all intertwine under the ground in the redwood forest. And they share the nutrients in the water. You know, if it's dry in one area, the root system will pick up on that, and it'll send water from an area that does have water over to the dry areas. So the trees actually take care of one another. They send water from different areas. Just told a thing Sunday about two churches in Newport. Neither one of them could afford a building, so they went in together on it. And while one's having Sunday school, one has church, and then they flip, and when one's having church, the other one has children's church. So that's kind of like that root system, you know. There's two churches working together, and that's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be divided. There's only one kingdom. There should only be one church, one Lord. And that was a really good example of that. Just like those roots does, you know, if we get all intertwined, we can help each other instead of competing with one another. And that's what getting planted does. You know, if we let our roots get intertwined, we can help one another. Excuse me. It says in Galatians 6, chapter 2, that if we bear one another's burdens, and that's what we do when we let our roots grow down together. You know, we bear one another's burdens. And it says we fulfill the law of Christ doing that. It says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we can help one another like we should, just like those redwoods do. If only one of those redwood trees tried to stand on its own, you know, 350 feet tall, with only 6 feet of roots, it'd fall over as soon as a little bitty breeze blew by. It wouldn't take much at all to knock one over. But side by side, to pull one of those big trees down, you'd have to pull them all down because they're all locked together. You know, their roots are tied together. And if we're that way, then it won't be easy to pull one of us down, because we got each other around us supporting one another the way we should be. We'll be strong like those big trees are. Some of y'all may have heard of John Maxwell. He's one of the world's best teachers on leadership. You know, he trains people how to be successful business leaders and Christian leaders. One of his biggest examples of teamwork and success is the root system of the redwood trees, because he understands the importance of supporting one another. And that's exactly what it says in Galatians 6:2. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Christ came to do, was help us. And he's our example. We should be helping one another. And in order to do that, we have to be planted. You know, we read these verses last week in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." You know, back to verse 2 there, that's how we let our roots grow. You know, we delight in the Lord and we meditate on his law day and night. We're not under the law, but we meditate on God's word. We get his word in our hearts and it becomes a guide for us. So when we do run into storms, we know how to face them. And we shared these verses last week too. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. It said, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." So we need to get planted somewhere so our roots can grow. We need to be rooted somewhere. We'll never grow if we're root-bound in our pots. And if you've ever had a root-bound plant, you know, when we'd run into them in the greenhouse that I worked in, we'd throw them away, you know, because they didn't produce any fruit. They didn't make flowers. They didn't do anything profitable. They've been in there so long, they became useless. So we have to get planted somewhere. And another thing that we need to do, we can't be seasonal Christians either. You know, a lot of times during the holidays, you know, we buy plants to decorate the stage at church or to decorate our homes to make it look good for the season. You know, I'm sure everybody's seen the poinsettias we get at Christmas time, and we'll set them out on the stage and stuff and make everything look pretty. And they do look really good through the Christmas season. But a lot of people are like that, you know. They just come in at Christmas and Easter, so they look good during the holidays, you know. They look good at church through the holidays, but they don't get committed to coming to church. They don't get involved in church. They don't get planted in the church. They're still in their pots, just like those poinsettias. But as soon as Christmas is over, you know, what do we do with those plants? Most of the time, I wind up throwing them in the dumpster out there. And they wind up like those twigs we talked about last week, because they were just seasonal. We didn't keep them. We just used them for a little while and threw them away. They became unfruitful. You know, we talked about those verses last week that Jesus showed us they'd be good for nothing except to gather and be burned. Our faith can't be seasonal. You know, most of those seasonal plants never get planted. And, you know, they just put them in the pots. They set them out during Christmas and Easter. And when it's over, they look beautiful. But when it's over, they get tossed out and they wilt and they dry up and they die. Just like the tulips. You know, they look amazing at Easter. And then when Easter's over, everybody's done with them. And they wither up and they get forgot about too. They never get planted So they never get a chance to let their roots grow. And I think that's just so sad. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to flourish. You know, like it said in Psalm 92 and verse 13, he wants us to flourish in the courts of God. He wants us to produce fruit even in old age, like it said in verse 14. You know, my mom took some of them poinsettias home last year after Christmas, and she didn't throw them out. I mean, I threw most of them out. She couldn't take them all home. But the ones she took home, you know, she kept them and she nursed them, and she put some new potting soil in them and stuff. And they're still doing good today. I brought one of them up here just to show you. It's not very big right now because she cut it back to get rid of all the dead growth. But if you'll look at it, it's got new growth coming out. And it's alive and healthy because she replanted it. She's taking care of it. And that's what happens to us when we get planted. We get new growth. God cuts away all the old stuff that we don't need in our lives, and he helps us get rid of it. And once we get planted and our roots start to grow down into Jesus, then we start producing new growth. Comes from the inside out, and we'll start bearing fruit for God. That's what God wants from us as a church. He don't want us to just be seasonal Christians. You know, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the word of God. You know, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Can you do that one in the King James, Travis? I like the way it says, he tells him, be instant, in season and out of season. It says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So God don't call us to be seasonal Christians. We're year-round Christians. You know, no matter what season of life that we're in, we're called to be ready in that season. And no matter what season of life somebody else is in, we should be ready to help them through it. You know, if they're going through a hard season, then that's one of the duties of a Christian, is to be ready to help them. Oh. That's kind of what Dennis and Josh have been preaching on the last few weeks. You know, we need to be committed to God. We need to be planted, you know, not in this building or just Grace Community Church, but in the kingdom of God and in our faith and into each other. You know, we need to be committed to one another, not just somebody we shake hands with on Sunday morning. We need to care for the people that we encounter, not just shake their hands on Christmas and Easter and then watch them walk back out the door and wither like those plants did. You know, we need to care for them. We need to help them get planted too, just like Mom did with these poinsettias. You know, if we'll help them to get planted, help them to get the things cut away in their lives that they need to work on, then they'll start growing. They'll develop roots and they'll have new growth. We need to equip them. Like it says in our mission statement that they were talking about Sunday morning. What they were talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. That's where that comes from. It says there, but that means us. So it's our responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. You know, just like those redwoods, God don't want us to be lone trees that just fall over when the wind blows. He wants us to be a forest, so we'll be strong together. He wants us to be the body of Christ. You know, we were talking last night in Celebrate Recovery how we need each other. You know, that's what it's for. We get in there and we talk about our problems and we help one another. Because we're not strong on our own. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ working together. He wants us to help one another so we'll be strong in our faith, like the cedars of Lebanon. And so we won't break when the storms do come. I like this verse in Ecclesiastes 4:12. I'm sure everybody's probably heard this one, but it's a good one. It's true. I've seen it, you know, come to life in my own life a bunch. It says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, there's strength in being part of a family. There really is strength in numbers. I know it sounds like an old cliche, but it's true. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, well, it's 1 month to the day ago. Last month on the 16th, one of my friends died in prison. You know, his name was Kimsey. I told y'all about that. He tried that new experimental drug while he was in there, and he had a bad reaction to it, and he died the next day. But we had his funeral Saturday. You know, it was a nice service, but it was nice because we all had that peace of knowing that he had given his life to the Lord. You know, we've been talking about that the last few weeks too, that if you have somebody that you know, that you love, and they passed away and you don't know for sure that they've surrendered their life to Christ, then you always have that looming over your head, wishing you knew for sure whether or not they accepted Christ. But we had that peace of knowing that he had given his life to the Lord. And that's why it's so important to get planted and let our roots grow. You know, during that funeral service, his niece, Chesha, she read verses out of Ecclesiastes 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'll read those to you. This is talking about seasons. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There really is a season for everything in this life, but God didn't call us to be seasonal. He called us to be faithful in every season. And like I was talking about, having that peace and knowing that someone you love is going to be with the Lord, and you don't have that peace if we don't know for sure. The only reason that I had peace at that service is because, and you know, this is nothing I've done. This is because I chose to get planted and let my roots grow down into Christ. The only reason I had peace at that service was because I did surrender my life to the Lord and I got planted here, and God allowed me to let my roots grow down into him and gave me the opportunity of going into jail to minister. And at the very one of the times that I went in there, Kimsey happened to be in there, and I had the opportunity to witness him give his life to the Lord. So I didn't have to wonder whether he knew Jesus or not. That is why it's important to get planted. That's why it's important to have roots, because the people in our lives need to be witnessed to, you know. If we're not rooted, if we're not planted, we're not going to be producing fruit. We're not going to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be led by the Spirit. So we're not going to be effective witnesses for God. And our ultimate goal is to lead people to Christ. So when they do leave this earth, they'll be with him. So it's important to get planted. And like I said a minute ago, it wasn't anything I did. It was simply being planted and let roots grow down into Christ and allowing God to speak to him in that moment. that he did accept Christ. So God didn't call us to be seasonal. He called us to be eternal. You know, he's not giving us seasonal life. He's given us eternal life. And it's free. We have to get out of our pots. You know, we are root bound, and let our roots grow down into Christ. You know, like it said back in Colossians 2:7. Josh said something Sunday. He said, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And I want to read those verses for you. I don't think he shared them on Sunday. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The lost are blinded by Satan. It's our responsibility as a church to get planted and to get rooted together so we can grow together into the forest, you know, the body of Christ that God intends us to be, so that we can help one another and so we can reach the lost together. Like I said a minute ago, that should be our number one goal. And if we're not growing, if we're not letting our roots grow down into Christ, we're not going to be able to share what we don't have. We have to grow in Christ. Like I keep saying, we're not seasonal. We are eternal beings, you know, whether it's going to be life eternal or eternity separated from God. Either way, all of us are eternal. I want to share a verse with you out of Ecclesiastes again. In chapter 12, verse 7, it says, for the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You know, when somebody does die here, we either cremate them or we bury them, but one way or another, they do return to the earth, you know, dust to dust. But their spirit returns to God who gave it. God placed the spirit in every single person on earth, and that's the way we should look at people. People we don't like, you know, God put a spirit in them too. The people that we don't understand because they're so much different than us, God placed the spirit in them too. And our goal should be to get them to Christ so they can surrender to Christ, and we all have the same spirit. There's nobody I know in church that has the spirit of Christ that you can't get along with, you know. That's our goal, is to get united in the spirit. Then that does away with all the division. That does away with all the fighting and the arguing and the gossip and the unforgiveness and all that stuff. If we're all united in the same spirit, you don't have those things. The only way we have those things is when we surrender to get planted, or when we will not surrender and get planted, when we reject those things, when we won't allow our roots to grow. You know, we still have our own opinions. We still have our own agendas. But when we surrender to Christ, it's his spirit doing the leading. So then we do have the fruit we need to witness and bring people to Christ. But like I said, you know, our spirit returns to God, either into life eternal or, you know, eternity separated from God. You know, we'll either hear, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, my good and faithful servant. And we need to start thinking about our friends and our loved ones and the, you know, the people that we encounter in our lives at work or wherever that might be as eternal, because they are. You know, people are not seasonal. So if you're root bound and you're not growing in Christ, get planted, you know, get connected. Let your roots grow down into him like we just read a minute ago, and get intertwined with the other roots so we can get unified and become the body of Christ that God wants us to be. You know, we'll be strong like that forest of redwoods. One ain't going to fall without the rest of them. We've got lots of new opportunities opening up at the church, and we got more coming to open up for people to grow and to volunteer here at the church. If you want to learn more, you can grab one of those newsletters back there on your way out. Or you can, if you're watching online and you want to check and see what's going on and what's coming up, you can visit the website at gracefamilytn.com, and it'll let you know what's going on now and the things that are coming up in the near future. You know, if you've got kids, our youth ministry is starting to expand more and more. And I think it's good. Kids need to be involved in something positive. Almost everything that the world has to offer them is not good for them. You know, it leads them away from God. It makes them negative. It teaches them how to bully other kids and to talk bad about them. So kids, they need a good positive environment to be in. You know, if they get involved in godly things, they can develop godly relationships. They can make godly friends. They can have a lot of fun and learn about Jesus at the same time in a safe place. You know, there's not much better you can get than that. But it's not just for the kids. You know, we've got women's groups. We've got men's groups. We've got all kinds of small classes you can get into. It's for the adults, too. The world don't have anything good to offer us, either. Everything it has to offer us drags us away from God, turns us negative. So I think us as adults, too, we need to get involved, you know. We need to make more godly friends and get a church community around us, too. Make some relationships we can grow in Christ in. And that way, when things do get rough, we've got a godly family that we can turn to for help when we need it. But there's all kinds of new opportunities fixing to open up. And if you're not involved in anything at the church, I urge you to get involved. One of the quickest ways that you can grow in Christ is through serving Him. You know, you get to know Christ when you're serving Him in a way that you don't get to know Him just studying about Him or listening to somebody preach. When you're actually serving, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you while you're serving Him. And you'll learn God's character, and He'll change yours to be more like Him. So if you're not involved, I do strongly suggest that you get involved. Not only will you grow in Christ, but you'll make friends. You know, you'll get that godly community around you that'll strengthen you when you do need help. I know that was huge in my life when I was just getting myself together. You know, I didn't really have any friends. I didn't have anybody. And so the church, about all the friends I have now are in the church, because I didn't have any worldly friends. I had people I knew, but when my life fell apart, they wasn't around. It was only the people at the church that stepped up and helped me get my life back on track. So if you're not involved in any church activities or service, I'd get involved. And you'd be amazed at the difference it makes in your life. Not just for you, but for your children. If your marriage is struggling, getting involved in church. Well, I've seen a lot of marriages that were really struggling, then they started getting involved in church, and it helped them out too. So if you're not involved, that website again is gracefamilytn.com, or you can get one of those newsletters back there and see what's going on. And like I said, sorry about last week's sermon. Something happened with the internet, and it shut off right in the middle of it for some reason. But we're going to try and re-record that sometime this week. Like I said, I'm not sure which day, but we'll make time one day and get that done for you. So if you're not planted, get planted, and let your roots grow down into Christ. And you'll see the fruit grow in your life. He'll change you from the inside out. And I know He will, because that's exactly what He did for me. But that's all I've got this week, and I hope that inspires somebody. If you're, you know, afraid to join church, or afraid to come to church, or you've been to church somewhere else and got hurt, and you just don't trust people, you know. You can't really trust people, but you can trust God, you know. come in here, give God a chance, and get planted somewhere. They don't have to be here. Go to a church where they're preaching the truth out of God's word, and get planted somewhere, and give God the opportunity to let your roots grow. And you'll be amazed at what he does in your life. But that's all I've got this week. Let me pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. And thank you all for listening to me, and thank you for letting me share. Father, I just thank you for this message. And Lord, I pray that it does inspire somebody to get more involved, Lord, so that they will have the family around them that they need to fight the storms that this life throws at us, Lord, so that they'll have the strength that comes in being in fellowship, the strength that comes with being connected to a church family, Lord. I know that's really changed my life, knowing that I'm not in this alone. And like I said, I know you can, we can read your word at home, Lord, and we can learn facts about you, and we can get book knowledge of you. But it's when we gather together, Lord, that your spirit just moves among us, and that it's just a wonderful thing. And God, I just pray that you would just give somebody the courage that they need to step out and get planted somewhere and surrender their life to you. And it's in Jesus Christ's holy name I do pray. Amen.